greet you this morning in the name of the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm glad it's not up to me this morning to defend truth. But the truth of the world does not depend on me. It does not depend on you. It does not depend on what we come together with or we walk away with from the service, from our time together sharing this morning. It does not depend on us, but on our Lord and Savior. And I greet you in his name this morning. Maybe this should be a Christmas message. I decided to let that to the next Sunday's speaker, being that it is Christmas Day. I did appreciate the devotions this morning on Christmas, on the Christmas story, and I felt that that was appropriate, especially since I'm not planning to preach on that this morning. However, I do feel that the message is an important aspect to our Christian lives, and if we follow the path that is laid out for us in the scriptures about walking with God, that we will have a more blessed Christmas. As I thought about a message for today, I had started something, but it just didn't seem to work, and I knew that when that happens, that God is wanting something else. So I went back to my file of messages, and I noticed one that I had taken out of its proper spot. I categorized them by year. I put taken it out of its proper spot, and I put it at the end of the list for I'm not sure what reason. Well, I do know now. I believe that God wanted me to share that this morning. This is a message that I do not think I preached here before. Maybe I did. I don't have record that I did, but if I did, most likely you will not remember much of it. You might remember a few parts here and there. Walking with God. And I feel it's a response to last Sunday evening's message. Some of you were here for that. End time delusions. How do we respond to that? Our brother clearly laid out the dangers of the world that we're living in and the age that we're living in and how it's so possible to be deluded. How do we respond to that? What do we do to keep ourselves from being deluded? Being deceived, it's a dangerous thing because once you're deceived, you're already caught up in the deceit. The title of the message is Walking with God. And as I thought about that, one of the other things of our table discussions this week was somehow we got on this thing of influencers. And sometimes some of these terms I come across and I need to go to my children to help me to know what influencers are. The fact is that we are walking with God. As Christians, we have our determination and a zeal and a purpose in our life to walk with God. But we're all influencers. And there's many influencers many influences that come to bear in our lives. We are influencers of each other. And I'm not talking about the internet influencers, social media influencers and all that. The message this morning is about an individual. It is a character study. And this question is for the school-age students. We're going to start there. If you're in school, listen up and see if you can answer the question about who our subject is this morning, who the person is we're talking about. He was mentioned three times in the scriptures, and he's someone who says he walked with God. He's mentioned only three times. Anybody? Enoch. Enoch. Yes. Not much is known about him, but what is said about him is noteworthy. So thank you for that. Turn to Genesis 5. There's many men in the Bible. There's many characters that we could study that they walked with God. David was a man after God's own heart. Abraham was called a friend of God. Elijah was called a man of God. Genesis 5, verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Enoch walked with God. Now, I'm sure after living 365 years, he did not only walk with God, he walked with a lot of other people. And I can't imagine that. I can't imagine all the relationships that he had in his life. And how do you live 365 years and have all these relationships? Well, we know his son was Methuselah, who lived 969 years. A lot of influencing going on there. When we walk with God, we walk with others also. And I think that was the case here, although the scripture is silent about that. It's interesting, as you look at the characters in this chapter, it says they lived. They just lived. Enoch walked. And there's a difference there. I don't know that there's an implication here that the others were ungodly men. I don't think they were necessarily. Obviously, Noah in verse 29 was a godly man. The others are listed as died. For Enoch, God took him. Enoch was unique. He was very unique in this sense. Now, Elijah was also another individual in the Bible that says that there's no record of his death. He was taken to heaven without death, and Enoch was that way as well. So Enoch was unique. Can we learn lessons from someone who is unique? And I think we can. In a sense, all of us are unique. As we discussed this morning what a walk with God is, our journeys are all different. We have a different walk. Our backgrounds are different. Some of you came from different backgrounds than I did. We all came, even if you were grown up in a Mennonite church, you have a different background. You have a different perspective. You have a different personality than the person sitting beside you this morning. And we need to be okay with that. So, because sometimes we're influenced by tremendous testimonies and examples of those who seem to be so ideal and almost perfect in their walk with God. Did you ever? And sometimes when we look at that and we say, well, I don't know. Maybe I'm not a Christian. Because I don't know. I don't always feel like that. It's okay. Because you have your own walk with God. It is unique. It's okay to be different than Brother Joe. I think I can mention Brother Joe here this morning because I don't think there is one. You know, it's okay to be different as long as we're following the same spirit, living in truth, loving the brotherhood, and we'll find that God has use for different personalities with different backgrounds and experiences. And maybe some of us sitting here will be taken to heaven just like Enoch was. Wouldn't that be something? Maybe it'll happen today. I don't know. Someday there will be a generation that will go to heaven just like Enoch did. Am I just living, or am I walking with God? Again, I'm not implying that the rest here just lived and didn't walk with God, but it says that Enoch walked with God. The rest, they lived and they died. Are you just existing this morning, or are you walking with God? The one is pure existence, and the other is life with purpose. Just living and saying you're a Christian isn't enough. Just living and looking like a Christian isn't enough. What does it mean to walk with God? That's the next point under Genesis 5, 22 to 24 is the first example or the first scripture text of Enoch. What does it mean to walk with God? When we walk with someone, we don't walk in front of them or behind them. It's walking together, same direction. My wife's parents did something that I never heard of before I knew her family, and that is when they walked as a couple, they walked in unison. Every step, as that's what I remember, that they walked in actual unison. And I didn't know if that was just something that they did. I Googled that, and I came across this. One study, for example, found that people who walk in step with one another are more likely to cooperate. Studies have also shown how coordinating your movement with other people can lead to greater rapport and desire to help each other. We are more likely to conform and obey requests when they come from someone we have coordinated with. So, husbands and wives, maybe you ought to learn that. Try that. Or a good friend that you're with a lot, that you take a walk with. Walk in unison. Maybe it'll help you in your relationship. Well, I think it's that way with God too, as we walk with Him. We used to have a dog, and when we first got the dog, and she was a puppy, you have a leash and you try to walk with the dog. And before the dog is trained, the dog is going ahead and dragging you along. It's not unison at all. It's not step. Well, it can't be with 4 versus 2. But anyway, how might we be out of pace or out of sync with God? Sometimes we say we're walking with God, but is it okay to be angry with Him then when He allows things into our lives that strike us wrong? And maybe anger is a strong word. No, we're not angry. We're just frustrated, discouraged, or disheartened. And we compare our situation with others, and it doesn't seem right. But you know, God allowed that situation to happen. But we're not walking in unison, so we pull back and we take our own way and we vent our feelings and then we give in to a little sin, just a little one, but it makes a big problem, and then we're completely out of step. Is this walking with God? Is this how Enoch walked with God? Sometimes we're not waiting on Him. We're running ahead. Psalm 37:7 says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him." That means we need to slow down our step. Remember this walking in unison again. We need to slow down our step and allow God to speak. Imagine how frustrating it is for God. Can God get frustrated? I'm not sure. Anyway, thinking about it from the human perspective, sometimes imagine how frustrating it is for God when He has something that He wants to bring to pass in our lives, but we get impatient, we're running ahead of Him, and we never allow Him to, we're going at our own pace, we're not syncing with Him, and so He's never really able to perform what He wants to do. Can I wait patiently for the Lord, or does it need to be my way, on my time, in my comfort zone, and how I want it to be? If that is, we're out of sync. We're running ahead. Sometimes we can be stubborn. We can be pulling back. And Psalm 78, 7 and 8 says that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Another situation, example of a people who were not in sync, because they were stubborn and they were pulling back. The Israelites, 1 month, according to Exodus 16, verses 1 through 3, we're not going to turn there, but according to that, it was just 1 month after leaving Egypt that they were pulling back. And they were saying, oh, that we could go back and experience the luxuries of Egypt. because of the great difficulty that we're in, even though they wanted to leave Egypt. Exodus 32 gives the account of the golden calf. And in that account, after all that God had done for them, in that account it says, they have turned aside quickly. That was God talking to Moses and giving his perspective on what happened. He said, they turned aside quickly. They pulled back. Well, what does it mean to walk with God? It means walking in the light. Walking in the light. The walk of faithfulness and integrity is walking in the light. Being open with who I am and where I am with God is walking in the light. No more darkness. Walking in the light. Having the moral courage to choose those things that keep me in harmony with God's standard of holiness. Choosing to walk in the light. That means staying out of the darkness. Having your life as it appears to men to be that way on the inside and the outside lining up. That relates to our Sunday school lesson. Walking in the light means disassociating or separating myself from things that defile my body, the temple of the Holy Spirit, making choices to walk in the light. It also involves the walk of repentance. Those who are walking in the light have once, at one time, were walking in the darkness. And as they were walking in the darkness, God allowed some experiences to come into their life, and it brought them up short. And out of the grief and the sorrow, as they recognized their direction of travel, they recognized how deep they were in sin, in the darkness, and it brought sorrow and a desire to change. And they turned from the darkness, and he turned into the light and started the walk of repentance. And God is faithful in those times to forgive and to cleanse and to bring peace. So the walk of repentance is a U-turn. It's a U-turn from the walking in darkness to walking in the light. That is walking with God. You can turn next to Hebrews chapter 11. There's two more. I think the name Enoch, Esau had a son named Enoch. That is a different Enoch. There's a couple of places in the Bible that gives genealogies, and Enoch is mentioned there. We're not going to look at those, but you can turn next to Hebrews 11 to the second example of the life of Enoch, or the second little notation about his life. In the faith chapter, Hebrews 11, verse 5, says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Translate. Enoch was translated. Translate means to transfer, to transport, exchange, change sides. It seems to mean that he did not see death. He did not die everyone that lived up to this time, except I believe for Elijah. Moses, I think it says Moses died and God buried him. But all died. There was a few that were raised to life, but then they did die again. It says he was not found. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean his body was not found? Is that why they felt that he... Is that why the scripture says that he wasn't found? I'm not sure. But he had this By faith, Enoch was someone who was able to look beyond the grave. Now, he didn't even experience the grave, I don't think. But he was able to look beyond the grave to the afterlife. And this was the desire of the psalmist in Psalm 49, verse 15. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. That's a verse of great faith. It says here, by faith Enoch, and the focus of this portion is Enoch's faith. The ability to look beyond the present, beyond the struggles of life, beyond what we're facing, and recognize that there's an eternal view that we need to have. We're going somewhere. Brothers and sisters, everyone that's here this morning, there's an eternal destination. And Enoch was able to look beyond that and see a destination. He was translated. He was on earth, and then he was moved, transported to heaven, to God's presence. He was not found on earth because he was found in heaven with God. And I believe that was the desire of Enoch's heart as he walked with God. Where did he want to be? He wanted to be with God. That's what the psalmist was saying here too. God will redeem my soul. Yes, I'm going to die in the grave, but he shall receive me. That's a tremendous testimony this morning. And is that your testimony? Is that the way you're walking with God? Is that the way you're living your life in faith that life here is temporary and that during the day, one or two times a day, hopefully, or maybe more than that, that you think about life being temporary. And we're moving from here to there. I believe his life was that testimony. It says he pleased God. He had this testimony. I believe his life was a testimony of living for the next life, but he also... I wasn't sure what to make of that verse. Was his testimony that he pleased God, or was his testimony that he was looking forward to being translated? And I guess it could be both. But he also, but it says there he pleased God. And this, again, is more than just living or existing. It's active choices. It was living with a motivation. And I believe this motivation to please God encompassed or included his whole life. Conscious choices day by day. I wonder if Enoch ever struggled with bad thoughts or attitudes. After 365 years, I'm sure he had several. Probably every day. That's the way it is for me. Struggle with a temptation. Maybe I don't struggle with a temptation every day. I don't know, but it's pretty often. Choices. But he pleased God. That was a way he lived his life. He walked with God and he pleased God. Those of you that are married, or I guess I can include those that are dating as well, you know what is involved in pleasing your partner. Or if you don't know that, you will learn that. You learn what will bring a smile to their face. And not only those married or dating, but any relationships of good friends, you know what brings a smile to their face. And we live for that. We all appreciate, we all enjoy that when we do something for someone and they have a smile, they have a word, they have a thank you, that there's something, there's that relationship of pleasing one another. Not allowing anything that would bring disapproval. So in your friendship relationship, you don't, anything that brings a disapproval, you don't want to go there. Pleasing God. When we spend time together, we get to know each other. And when we get to know one another, we begin to resemble each other. And I know there's I've seen this myself. You've seen an older couple, and they look like each other. Did you ever think about that? I believe that's the way it was here. Enoch lived a life that pleased God, and he resembled God. Pleasing God makes relationships abound. Pleasing God brings life to relationships. It almost seems like Enoch and God walked together and built a relationship that grew and abounded to the point where it seemed natural that he transferred directly into the physical presence of God without a death. It seems that way. Life on earth to life in heaven, a seamless transition. And like I said, it may be that way for us, but if God does not return, someday we will die. But I believe even in death, there can be a seamless transition from pleasing God in this life and walking with God in this life to being in his very presence. You can turn to the last point in the message is Jude 1. And yes, Jude 1, I was told recently that it is correct to say Jude 1, even if there is only one chapter. I did not realize that before. Anyway, that doesn't matter so much. But Jude, it's only one chapter. It's a book that maybe we don't turn to a lot. There's some interesting quotations and information in this book that is not anywhere else in the Bible. And there's information here on Enoch that is not anywhere else in the Bible. And it is very interesting. And I suppose this could be called extra-biblical information here, but it is included. And so we want to look at what it says about Enoch. Jude 1, verse 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Now, if you look at the context of this verse, of these verses, it goes back to verse 3 or verse 4. Jude is giving a warning. To certain men crept in unawares who before of old ordained to this condemnation ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Jude was giving a warning to false teachers and certain men that are crept in that are trying to deceive. And if we're ever living, Enoch was living in a world like that because he's used as an example in verse 14 and 15, but we can identify with that because that's the kind of world we're living in. Ungodliness, denying the grace or turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. That's churches that are preaching the grace of God but allowing people to live in sin. And it's all around us. Denying the only Lord God, saying that Jesus, yeah, he was a good man, but there was other good men and there was And all paths lead to God. No, they do not. Denying the only Lord God and Lord Jesus Christ. So this is the kind of world that Enoch lived in. And he preached. According to verse 14, he preached the coming of the Lord to the evil society of his day. That is remarkable. The word prophesied there means speaking under divine inspiration. It's interesting that the coming of the Lord is not just a New Testament theme, but it goes back all the way to the life of Enoch. Back before the flood, he was preaching about the coming of the day of the Lord. Well, we already looked at the life of Enoch and how he walked with God. He was a friend of God. And it gripped his soul. As being a friend of God and walking with God, it gripped his soul to see all the ungodliness around him. And so he wasn't afraid to stand up publicly for his friend God. Was he embarrassed? I don't know. He probably was sometimes. But he stood up. in the midst of this ungodliness and said, "The Lord is coming," with 10,000s of his saints. I'm sure it wasn't an easy time to prophesy about the Lord in the years leading up to the flood. But he had a cause, because he had a friendship, because he had a relationship. And it was a challenge to me. How vocal am I with this ungodliness? Now, we heard in our devotions this morning, we're reminded that truth doesn't stand with us. But we need, it's not up to us to support the truth. The truth will stand, but we need to stand with it. We need to identify our lives with it. Our lives need to be preaching the Lord's return. You know, we are ambassadors. We're living in this world where we're really kingdoms, where we're really part of a kingdom of another world. And that's what an ambassador does. And the American ambassador for Japan lives in Japan, but he's an American citizen. He probably dresses American. He probably eats hamburgers. I mean, there might be times when he samples Japanese cuisine, possibly, but he probably eats hamburgers and French fries. I don't know. But he's there representing his country. And so it is. And so it is for us. We're here. We're representing another country. How are we doing with that? Are we being influenced by influencers through our cell phones and our communication devices? And is the ambassador to Japan? Maybe he faces a temptation. Maybe he likes Japan so much that he finds himself starting to dress and worship and go to there and become a Japanese, which is fine, I guess, but then he needs to stop his ambassadorship because he's no longer an ambassador. So it's a challenge for me. How are we representing our friend Jesus as foreigners in the United States? Because we're a part of another country. Am I representing my friend Jesus to the people I meet? Does my message of my life bring condemnation to the wickedness of the world? Or does my lifestyle and daily choices send mixed messages? You preach against uncleanness, ungodliness, idolatry, and unrighteousness, but what are you doing in your life? Is it matching? Philippians 1:27 says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." That's where I want to be this morning. Sometimes we get weary in this thought of preaching and prophesying. I just want to walk quietly with God. Must I be so vocal? Do you ever think about that? I just want to blend in. But you can't do that and be an ambassador. You have to stand up for your country. Our walk with God, or lack thereof, will always show. We all have different spheres of influence, but influence is there. And a message will be preached, whether you want to be a preacher or not. Whether you think about it or not, you are an influence, and we are preaching whether we realize it or not. May this example of the life of Enoch be an encouragement to us. Enoch lived thousands of years ago, but as I studied this, I was blessed with so many parallels with us today. There's many things that could have been shared as far as our walk of life. And I did not mean this to be completely conclusive. And there's aspects of this that probably came to your mind. But my prayer is that God would use this to encourage us to continue to start. Maybe you have not started a walk with God. Or maybe you've claimed to start a walk with God and have fallen away from that. Whatever the case is, whether we need a start, whether we need a restart, or whether we need some maintenance done with our walk with God, may we each be faithful in doing that so God can translate us from this life to the next life, and we can be in His presence. Let's kneel for prayer.